Skip the ramen noodles. Don't even think about a frozen pizza. It's time to find out where you'll enjoy some drinks and dinner tonight.
Hey, Arizona Guy Fieri here from Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives on the Food Network. I hope you'll be listening to On the Menu Live with the Madman, Matt Russell.
On KNST.
Fellow foodies, welcome once again to another exciting hour of radio. In fact, it's the most delicious hour on radio. Thank you so much for tuning in like you do every Saturday at 4 o'clock right here on KNST AM 790. And whether you're listening to us live right now on the dial, maybe you're listening to us live on our website on themenulive.com, maybe you're one of the millions that streams live worldwide on the iHeartRadio network, no matter how you are hearing my voice, I am so glad you're here. Now here, fellow foodies, this week is not one of the great restaurants or bars or breweries or lounges across Southern Arizona. No, from time to time, we have to return to the mothership. We come back to the intergalactic headquarters of KNST just to check on our peeps here, see how Chris is doing, see how Michael's doing, you know, water the flowers, let the dog out, making sure everything is just fine here. And folks, things are just fine here because we have an amazing show lined up for you today. We got some of the most talked about people that are doing the most innovative things across the culinary cocktail and beer circuit in all of Tucson. And to help us get the conversation started is a celebrity in his own right. He's our celebrity co-host for the full hour, restaurateur and now general manager of the Roadhouse Cinemas, my good friend Vincent Mast is in the house. Vince, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going, Matt?
Hey, you know, we are just rocking and rolling here, another exciting hour, and talk about exciting Vincent Mast, for crying out loud. So if anyone's driving around Grant and Swan these days, you see this big old sign. It says Roadhouse Cinemas, and I'm scratching my head. I'm wondering, what is that all about? Because someone says you can watch a movie, you can have a beer, you can eat a great meal, and you can do all that under one roof. What's going on at Roadhouse Cinemas, man?
Yeah, so Tucson's first dine-in movie theater. We plan to open in the middle of September. It's, you know, an exciting concept. We think really Tucson, it's overdue here, and it's done in some other cities across the country. Phoenix has a few of these concepts. Ours is going to be unlike any other.
You know, it's funny that this concept, you know, you go to Phoenix, you know, this is, you know, this, it's normal. It's mainstream. I mean, it's really what is, you know, part of the entertainment culture up there. And I'm just surprised that it took so long to bring something like this to market. But you know what? Whatever you touch in your 30, can I say 30 years? 20 years.
30 some odd years.
You know, and doing food, entertainment, creative concepts. If anyone's going to do this, it's got to be Vince Mast.
Well, I mean, yeah, we've had some fun concepts over the years, Sweet 102 and a couple of those restaurants. And yeah, so this is number 7 for me. And it's going to be really fun. And I think people are going to really, really enjoy this concept.
So dine-in cinema. So walk our listeners through exactly what this concept is all about, because it's more than just having, you know, popcorn and a thirst buster while you're watching a movie. I mean, this is like real meal.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So what we've got going on is a menu of a scratch menu from a movie theater. So think about that concept for a second, a scratch movie menu where we're making our own naan bread, we're making our own pretzels. We're doing a bunch of things that, you know, people in real restaurants are doing here in Tucson, local restaurants, local people. And we're going to have all kinds of local beers from Tucson also.
Beautiful. So there's actually going to be someone who works at a movie theater in Tucson with a chef title.
Yes. Yeah. Our chef, the funny thing is our chef, Gina DeRocher, this is her first head chef job. She's been in different other parts of restaurants around Tucson for the past 10 years. She graduated number one in her class at Scottsdale Culinary.
Oh my gosh.
1,500 people.
Great catch.
Yeah, exactly. And she's very talented, very talented. And she's really going to make this unique flavor experience for people while they're watching a movie. It's just going to blow everybody's mind.
Well, let's talk about that unique flavor experience. So when you're thinking about a menu, I mean, just the idea of a menu at a movie theater is something that blows my mind already. But when you're talking about a menu, what kind of things are you going to be offering your guests when they come in to watch a first-run film,
mm-hmm.
And really have a great culinary experience at the same time?
Well, so like we've got, we're making our naan bread from scratch.
Mm.
So we'll have hummus, and so the hummus platter will have crudité vegetables.
Beautiful.
And we'll have the hummus plate and hummus in the center, and then naan bread to dip it in, and olives also on that plate. So really kind of a nice, you know, finger eating experience.
Perfect.
But the trick is, with this concept, what you can you eat in the dark? Because, I mean, really, that's it's kind of a funny thought. But as we've been working on this concept, and my partner Scott Castle and myself have been working on this for over 7.5 or so years, and that wow. is, yeah, to get this concept down. And we were very fortunate to land at Grant and Swan. I mean, right in the middle
it's
of
perfect.
Tucson. Yeah, yeah.
It's perfect.
Yeah, so we're excited about that.
But talk about the concept of a roadhouse, because, you know, you're going to be opening up a dine-in cinema, and you really have a blank canvas. You can do whatever you want with it concept-wise. How did we get to the roadhouse?
Sure. So Scott Castle actually came up with a name on his list of names of our theater concept. And when I saw Roadhouse, I was like, oh, my God, I've got to design this space. I mean, this is just – it leads you right to where, you know, you want to go design-wise. So I'm like, Roadhouse, that's it.
Perfect.
We've got to have that name.
That's going to be a lot of fun. So, you know, our listeners are just clamoring to find out, Vince Mass, when are you going to be opening the doors to the Roadhouse Cinemas on Grant and Swan to the public?
We're hoping for the second or third week in September.
Oh, right around the corner.
Yeah, yeah, real close. So, you know, we're getting our staff right now together, and anyone that wants to apply, please go to roadhousecinemas.com. Also, we've got a ad on Craigslist running daily for different people that we're looking for. We probably have about 55, 60 people hired out of about 110 we're going to hire.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
And a robust Facebook community already. I mean, the doors aren't even open, and you got something like 5,000 likes, for crying out loud. You got marketing geniuses in this town wondering how in the world you did that. But anyway, how many screens, how many actual theaters are going to be at Roadhouse Cinemas?
So there'll be 6 screens, just like the before. And then, and recliners in every seat. So you'll go in, you'll sit down in your seat, you'll wait for your server will come, tear your ticket, greet you, and then if you ask you if you want anything to drink or something to eat, and then if you decide later during the movie or before the movie starts, just press your button and your server will come in and wait on you.
Now, does that work at home now? Can I just press a button at home and someone serves me? And, you know, just for the record, I like to be greeted when I'm reclining in a leather piece of furniture. That's just how I roll. And you actually got some fun theme ideas for as you get into the fall, kind of, you were making like Throwback Thursday and
right,
kind of fun
right,
things like that.
Right. So we're going to be, even though we're a first-run movie theater, we're going to be running some special promotions. So in October, we're going to be doing some throwback old horror movies, and some of them funny, like we want to do Ghostbusters as one, and, you know, some other maybe American Werewolf in London or
oh,
something
fun.
Like that. Yeah, some fun stuff. So
watch some great movies, have some great food, drink some craft local beer, all under one roof there at Roadhouse Cinemas. So in case anyone tuned in a little bit late, exactly where is this place, and when are you opening?
We are on the northeast corner of Grant and Swan, behind the Crossroads Festival Shopping Center, we'll be opening in the middle of September, and like I said, we'll have 6 screens, all reclining seats, and full bar, full menu.
That's great. You want to check them out online, roadhousecinemas.com. Check out Roadhouse Cinemas on Facebook. Roadhouse Cinemas everywhere you look. Fellow foodies, you are not going to miss one exciting minute of this, the moment that Vince and his team opens the door. We're excited about it. I know you're excited about it. And this community, I think, is really going to embrace this super fun concept. And I can't wait for you to open, Vince.
Thanks.
Vince is going to be with us for the full hour. He's our celebrity co-host from Roadhouse Cinemas. We're going to take a quick commercial break and thank a couple of sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about two of the basic food groups, pigs and pinot. You don't want to miss this. Stick around. We'll be right back.
How's it going, Tucson? Jeff Morrow here from the Sandwich King on the Food Network. Thanks for listening to On the Menu Live with my buddy Matt Russell.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It's Matt Russell broadcasting live from the beautiful KNST studios here on the grounds of Clear Channel Media and Entertainment on Fort Lowell and Oracle. Having a great time on the most delicious hour on radio, rocking the hour with my celebrity co-host for the full hour from Roadhouse Cinemas, Vince Mast. Having a great time? A lot of fun, man.
Especially, there was a large pizza that just landed next to me. I'm so excited.
Yeah, you're going to have to show some restraint for crying out loud. We're not getting to the food part, but yes, you know, the lovely Liz from Mama's Famous Pizza and Heroes just walked in the door and she brought goodies. And we're going to get right to the Mama's story here in just a few minutes. But before we do that, we're going to be talking about two of what I think are the basic food groups. Pigs. Anything from a pig needs to be at the top of your menu. And I love when it comes to the wine varietals. I love a great Pinot. And our good friends up at the Hacienda del Sol Guest Ranch Resort, they've got an event coming up here on August the 31st that brings pigs and Pinot together like magic. And my good friend Matthew Landon is here to tell us all about it. Matthew, what's up, brother? Matthew, are you with us?
Hello?
Hello. Hey, I hear you now. Give me a little more volume on Mr. Landon, if you would, Chris. Matt, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing good today. How are you doing today, Matt?
Well, you know, I'm staring down a pizza, the likes of which I don't know that I've ever seen before. I mean, they're used to seeing things like this in Roswell, New Mexico. You know, this thing looks like it just dropped out of the sky. But anyway, I digress. We're having a great time. We're going to be drinking some great beer. We're having some great pizza. But this is about pigs and Pinot. And this has always, Matt, been one of our favorite events up there at Hacienda del Sol. And I wanted you to come on and talk to our listeners about exactly what you guys have planned for August the 31st. So how are you bringing pigs and Pinot together in a loving way up there?
Well, you know, this is the second time that we've done this up here. We used to do a Pinot Fest walk-around event like we have for our other events, Argentina Heart and Soul and Zen Blues and Barbecue. But what we decided was, you know, it gets kind of hot during this time of the year, so we thought maybe we should move this one inside the restaurant. It's kind of, you know, like a wine dinner. Except for what we decided to change the format a little bit, and instead of having it start all at the same time, like at a 6 o'clock, 6:30, you can actually just make reservations and come in and dine at your own leisure. And then this is the menu that we'll be presenting for that night. So kind of like a degustation kind of menu rather than just your normal kind of grill menu when you come up here and dine with us.
You know, I love it when you degustate, Matthew. I just absolutely love it when you degustate. But anyway, you've got this four-course extravaganza. Each of the courses, Matthew, is sourced from, I guess, a different part of the pig. I mean, kind of walk through what your guests are going to be able to experience from a culinary perspective.
Well, yeah, of course. Like I said, it starts at 5:30 when our normal seating starts, so anytime from 5:30 to 9. It's going to be $75 per person, and we're going to start off at the very beginning with some pork rillette quenelles, and that'll come with some pickled stone fruit chutney and looks like some toast points, and then that's going to be paired with a sparkling Pinot Noir.
Beautiful.
So we're going to go with every course with a different, you know, type of a Pinot and a different type of pork, like you mentioned. Moving on from that, we have braised pork trotter Milanese. It's going to come with some heirloom tomatoes, crispy skin, arugula, and house-made smoked mozzarella, and that's going to be paired with a Pinot Gris from Germany, Via Wolf by Dr. Lucen.
Oh, just gorgeous. And you're doing that Mott's in-house, sir?
We certainly are. You know, we went down over to Zona the other day and got some practice over there with some of their chefs as well on how to make some of that house-made mozzarella. So I have the guys back here in the kitchen, and it looks like they've been doing a fantastic job putting that together.
I love it. You know, and you just can't find good trotter these days, Matthew Landon. And I'm so happy that you and Chef and John, when you're putting together the menu and the wine pairings, this braised pork trotter Milanese sounds just spectacular. Now, we're only halfway done with this menu now.
We're only halfway.
Number three, where are we going?
We're going to pork char suey ramen. It's going to have scallop cakes, sous vide egg, pickled peppers, scallions, and a smoky pork broth. And then that's going to be paired with Pinot Noir that's out of California. It's called Patiana. From Mendocino, and it's made with organically grown grapes.
Oh, that sounds gorgeous. And I love the fact that you're bringing the sous vide into the conversation. You know, this this old sort of traditional French preparation of cooking where you're vacuum sealing ingredients in a bag and kind of letting it hang out in a warm water bath for anywhere from a couple hours to a couple days. And the fact that you're bringing an egg and doing that sous vide is really interesting to me.
Yeah, I thought the same thing as well, and it's, you know, something that they've been using on a couple of the menu items up here as well. So we've gotten a lot of you know, great reviews on the sous vide egg, the 50-minute egg that we've been featuring up here. So, and then you know, last but not least, we have our dessert. It's going to be a mixed berry and brie cheese and croûtes. It's going to come with some mixed berry jam layered with brie and bacon infused genoise. And then a caramel bacon gelato with smoked chocolate sauce. And then that's going to come with a port. We couldn't find anything Pinot to go with that, but we did find a nice 2007 vintage port from Kopke. So go very well, you know, with that pairing as well. And like you said, you know, John does a really great job, you know, pairing these items. So I have a feeling that everyone will think that, you know, this menu should pair very well with the wine selected.
Yeah, and don't feel bad about the port. You know, port and pork, you know, there's a beautiful rhyme there. So it works in my vocabulary. It works beautifully. So this, obviously, is a very thoughtful menu. It's a very intentional menu. It's not a hastily thrown together menu. It takes time, and it takes effort, and it takes really passion and love. And I think when you bundle all of those together, that is really what defines the Hacienda del Sol. Again, this is Pigs and Pinot up at the Hacienda del Sol, Sunday, August the 31st, from 5:30 to 9 p.m. And now, you said the dinner was $75. Now, does that include the wine pairings, Matthew?
That includes the wine pairings. Yes, sir. You are absolutely correct.
Okay. So, right away, the value is immeasurable. This is a great culinary and libation moment. Surround yourself with the wonderful colors and the wonderful vibe and energy up at the Hacienda, and do that, you know, against the backdrop of some of our favorite folks that really make a culinary cocktail libation wine experience really enough to tell all your friends. Anyway, HaciendaDelSol.com for all the information. If people want to register and get tickets today, what should they do?
Yeah, you can go ahead and make those reservations. If you give us a call, the phone number is area code 520-529-3500.
Great. 529-3500 for tickets to the Pigs and Pinot dinner. You do not want to miss this. Matthew Landon from the Hacienda del Sol, always a privilege, sir, catching up with you, and I will see you on the 31st.
All right. Sounds good, Matt. I hope you have a great day.
Thanks so much. You too. We're going to take another quick commercial break and thank another couple of valued sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to be diving headfirst into some of the greatest craft beer that I think has ever landed here in the Old Pueblo. You don't want to miss this for 1 minute. You're listening to On the Menu Live on KNST AM 790. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey, all you barbecue pitmasters out there in Arizona. This is Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, and you're listening to On the Menu Live with my pal Matt Russell. It's the most delicious hour on radio, and it's only here on KNST.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It's Matt Russell broadcasting live from AM 790 KNST in the wonderful Clear Channel and Media and Entertainment Building at Oracle in Fort Lowell. Come on by, just knock on the door and wave. We're here just eating and drinking, and that's what we do every Saturday at 4. Thanks again for tuning in. Now, we craft beer sophisticates love what's happening here in Southern Arizona. Vince Mast, who's our celebrity co-host from Roadhouse Cinemas. And it seems like every other day there's another craft brewer that pops up on the scene, but sort of the new kids on the block. They're certainly not new or kids in the brewing industry. And I think one of the most fascinating stories that has hit the craft beer suds scene, and here to tell us all about it, is the head brewer in chief at Iron John's Brewing Company, John Atkinson. John, how you doing?
Matt?
Well, you know, give him a little bit of volume so I can hear him, because he's got such a great voice. John Atkinson, welcome.
All right, I'm here.
Here you are. So Iron John's Brewing Company,
yes.
You guys hit the scene, what, just a few months ago?
Yeah, we've been open about 6 months, and I've been brewing about 24 years, and certified beer judge and former head brewer up at the old Habaneros at La Paloma. I've been around a while, been teaching brewing, and
I'm not certified, but I'm a beer judge.
we're all a beer judge.
We're going to learn from the master here today. So now, did you get started in this whole industry kind of, you know, doing this at home? Were you a homebrewer back in the day?
Years ago, my beginnings was a basic homebrew kit that we all got started on, so be careful if someone buys you one of those things, because you don't know where it's leading.
Now, your wife is nodding aggressively in affirmation of that.
And I've taken it to an extreme and really just pursued it as a career and a vocation, and for a while it was my therapy.
Exactly.
And
I just mean.
You know, I've got a deep hundreds deep recipe book that I draw from, and we're trying to do something a different recipe every week, a different beer every week. We're doing something different in the industry. We're opening people's eyes to the fact that there's a lot of different stuff out there that exists that Tucson's finally starting to see happen and occur. And the old brewery model of make the same four beers over and over again and sell a lot of it, we threw that out.
Yeah,
we're making something new and bright and amazing every time we touch it.
You know, this is some of the things that craft brewers are doing here is they rotate their menus sort of seasonally, which to me means about every 4 times a year they're putting a new beer on tap. But you actually, did I hear you say this right? You're actually brewing a new beer every week?
Every week.
Every week we make a different recipe. Well, no wonder you're different from everybody else. How in the world? I mean, talk about your sort of the capacity there, and
we're a small brew house. We're the smallest brewery in Tucson right now. We make 60-gallon batches. We make 250 750-milliliter bottles per batch, and once that's gone, it's gone until it comes back in next year. And we're hoping to put out 40-50 different beers a year, and we want people to come by our brewery and bottle shop. and try something new every week, every month, and see what we're turning out, and open their eyes and turn on their palates.
Where are you located?
We're an industrial park set up just south of Broadway on Plummer, 245 South Plummer, number 27. We got 1,200 square feet of beautiful industrial playground art shop for me. And we're really an artisan approach to a small batch brewing operation. And like I said, all bottle shop. We're out in a few different bottle locations around town, and we've got some restaurant presence and a couple places we're on tap at.
And you really kind of want to be known. You know, your bottles are Herculean size. I mean, they go great with this monstrosity of a pizza that Mom has just brought in.
Yes.
But anyway, this is like a bottle of wine, for crying out loud.
It's the concept is right along the wine marketing idea. We're making something different and distinctive, unique, and it's a premium product. And we're not charging an arm and a leg for it, but we're charging a couple fingers. And it'll work for two people. It'll work for you to have a little bit and put it back in the fridge and have some later. And we're hoping people really
see. There
really
he goes again. Speak for
it.
Yourself, John Atkinson. There is nothing left in the bottle, and I just opened the darn thing.
Well, I do like the Grolsch style, bottle.
Exactly. Connectors. Yeah. So, what's the name of that sort of technology? Grolsch, as we were growing up. That's what I remember.
It's a flip top.
Of course. All right. So we've actually brought in a couple of beers direct from your brewery, which I procured yesterday. Had a great tour out there. I mean, really a lot to be proud of, John, for
sure.
So we're actually going to do two beers now, and you suggested that we start with the Code Talker.
Yes.
Talk a little bit about this beer because I'm intrigued.
Okay. It's an American strong ale. So I wanted something that had some alcohol and a nice balance to everything we make. We shoot for a nicely balanced, drinkable beer, no matter what else we may do with it to exhibit some flavors. And it's not quite a big barley wine. It's not a monster strong beer, but it's strong enough to get your attention and to finish your evening with. And it's really designed to go great with a plate of food. In fact, the Roadhouse Cinema might be some place you might want to enjoy a beer like
there
this.
There you
well,
go.
Hey, I mean, that's how it happens. So beautiful malt on
nice
this
malt
beer,
characters.
John.
It's got a balance of the hop bitterness is right behind the malt, so it really comes in well and blends together.
So this is 8%.
8% alcohol.
Now, you said this is a place to sort of finish up your night. I like to start my night with the Code Talker. This is a beautiful, it's a complex beer, but it's not overwhelming. The hop factor is just perfect. You've nailed it. But I love that gorgeous malt, that mouthfeel with this Code Talker, especially with that ABV that's not so high that it's going to abuse you. This is a beautiful beer. Now, when you're out of this, are you out of this, John?
Yes, that's the whole concept is that we're going to make something else just as delicious to follow it with. And we want to keep you coming along to the party and a constant change in variety.
We're going to try another beer after we come back from our news break when we keep the conversation going with our good friends from Mama's Pizza. But where did the name Iron John's come from? I mean, are you Mr. Iron John?
Well, no. That's what's kind of progressed. But the original concept is an old German folktale called Iron John. That was the Grimm's Brothers folktale that was written down thousands of years ago. And it's been told by mouth for ages. And it's about a character who lived as a wild man in the forest and was basically cursed to live that existence till he could teach someone else in the world to find their true value and their true place and be a better person. And it's about growing up and discovering what you're good at and what you should be doing.
A beautiful idea.
And one of our slogans is free yourself. And it's about, let yourself out of the cage and find who you are.
Well, consider us to be freed, for goodness sake. I mean, this beer really has made me feel better about myself. So there's a therapeutic component to
there
this
you go.
Beer.
There you
and
go.
That's part of the story.
That's it.
Anyway, John Atkinson with Iron John's Brewing Company. We're going to keep the conversation going when we come back, but remind our listeners exactly where your brewery and bottle shop is.
245 South Plummer, number 27. Just a block south of Broadway on Plummer, which is just a block east of Campbell.
And you do tastings every Saturday?
Every Saturday from 12 to 6. Come in and try a taste of everything we got in the case.
Everything they have in the case, Vince Mastin.
But it'll only be there shortly.
He doesn't know us, obviously. But anyway, Iron John's Brewery, check them out online. Check them out on Facebook. Check them out on Twitter. Check them out everywhere. John, we're going to be looking forward to having some more beer with you.
Thank
we're going
to
take a quick news break and thank a couple of sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to be going to Pie Town. Some of the best pizza I think that's ever hit the Tucson streets. You don't want to miss this. We'll be right back.
Spice up your Saturday night. He'll tell you where to have fun tonight. On the Menu with Matt Russell is on KNST.
And And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It is Matt Russell broadcasting live from the intergalactic headquarters of AM 790 KNST, having a great time during the most delicious hour on radio here, just having a great meal, having a great beer, and just celebrating what it means to be a Southern Arizona on Saturday afternoon with my celebrity co-host for the full hour from Roadhouse Cinemas, Vince Mast.
Thank you.
Having some great craft beer here, man.
Oh, my goodness. Oh.
Seriously. And we're talking to John Atkison, the brewer-in-chief at the new Iron John's Brewing Company. Now, before we get to our featured guest, we were remiss, John Atkison, in not tasting both beers that I brought in for us to try. I want to keep things fair, for crying out loud. We had a great experience with that Code Talker, that 8%, that malt, that strong American ale, which really is, I think, sort of almost defines its own style, really. I mean, I really can't fit it into a category, really. I mean, it's fantastic.
That's it. But then, my recipe.
But then along came something called Fire and Flavor.
Fire and Flavor.
Okay.
Roasted green chili ale. It's a delicious mouthful of roasted green chili flavor. Almost no heat. We used a concentrated apple juice cooked down to an apple syrup to give you kind of a fruit base underneath the chili so that heat doesn't come out and overwhelm it. And it's got mesquite charcoal roast. It's got all kinds of flavor and character. And it's designed to go with the meal again. You know, we're trying to make things that are palatable and drinkable by the glass, not the sip.
Well, you know, palatable and drinkable, I mean, that almost defines our celebrity co-host.
There you go.
Now, have you tried this Fire and Flavor?
No, this is amazingly
good.
This
is gorgeous. Yeah. I mean, especially this time of year, right?
Yes.
I mean, this is beautiful. I can almost imagine this with a great Southwestern meal. And again, you think chili, sometimes you're going to think, you know, real heat.
Yeah.
But it's just a kiss. It's just a suggestion. Just and what I'm getting from this beer right off the bat is a little sweet, a little smoke, and a little spice.
That's it.
And it's almost like a shandy, really, when I'm tasting this beer.
Yeah, we put a nice low-heat applewood smoke on some of the Pilsner malt that we make this with. So we're putting in layers of flavors and trying to deliver something that's like I said, balanced and palatable and appealing on its own as a beer, not just a novelty feature item of, oh, look what we put into here, and it's overwhelming.
Well, you call your beers expressive over there at Iron John's, and I can't imagine that I've been expressed like this before. The Code Talker and the Fire and Flavor, a different beer coming out of your shop each and every week.
Every week. Every
Go
week.
Down and see my good friend John Atkison on Saturdays, complimentary tastings, you know, throw a couple of bucks in the tip jar
there
because
go.
These guys work hard keeping us live.
And okay. we're open 6 days a week, 11 to 6 for anyone that wants to buy beer.
Perfect. And that's what we really want to talk about, right?
That's
we
it.
Want people to understand commerce is good.
That's it.
You know, there seems to be a pizza place that opens in Tucson almost every 2 weeks. I see another one pop up over the last couple of years. There's been this renaissance of new pizza places. And Vince, you know, we love them. You know, new pizza, always new attitudes, new energy. But we thought we need to take some time and stop and salute some of the people that actually made Tucson a pizza town.
Absolutely.
And Vince, when you're talking about a guy and his family that pioneered, I'm going to say, pioneered the pizza pie in Tucson, Arizona, it's the Spina family. And
oh
Joe and Joe Spina are here. It is a pleasure to have you both on the show.
Thank you,
Thanks
man.
So much.
It's a pleasure
Thank
to be
you.
Here.
Why don't you come
Thank
in
you
here
man.
And just get about as intimate with that microphone as you possibly can do. But it's a family show, let me just remind you. But Joe, I got to tell you, when you walked in the door, this is a broadcast, a milestone in my broadcast career, because when Mr. Spina walks in the room, I mean, things just, I mean, I stood up at attention for crying out loud. So what was it, man? I mean, you're in the 1970s, you're in New York. I mean, what occurred to you that moving out to the Sonoran Desert with your idea of New York pizza was actually going to be something that was going to take off as much as it did?
Well, in one word, it was family. My parents had retired here in 74, and my brother and I missed them tremendously, so we thought we'd take a trip out to Tucson, and we did that for 5 years until the plane fare got too expensive. So we decided to move here, and it's been a great experience.
And that was how long ago when you opened up Mama's in town?
1981.
Okay, 1981. Where were you in 1981, Vince? Maybe we don't.
I'm not gonna say.
That?
No, I'm not gonna say. I wasn't born yet.
and I don't think before then. I mean, was there real kind of an authentic New York pizza in town? I can't think that there was.
Yeah, none that we knew of. Yeah. We knew there were 5 pizza places in the university area at the time, and we knew that there was a need for pizza, so we just looked at what they did and tried to do it better. And
boy, did you ever.
God blessed us.
You know, I tell you, you can't run into anybody in this town that doesn't have a Mama's story, right? I mean, I remember just the old university days. I mean, and I've made my circuit tour across all your locations, and it seems I make a new memory out of every time I go. It's just that atmosphere, and it's the family environment that these guys have created.
Now, the first time I had that pie, I was like, oh, my goodness. This is monstrous.
You know.
Thank you.
Yeah, seriously. So when we're talking about New York pizza, I know there's so many different schools of thought. It's the water. It's the cheese. You got to have the right dough. You got to have the right attitude. I mean, what is it about Mama's that just makes it dead on New York?
You know, that's a question I've asked myself for the last 33 years. And I find that, you know, being from New York, there's a different pizza place on every corner.
Right.
Every corner. And every pizza tastes different. So we just took the Wisconsin cheese, the whole milk mozzarella cheese.
Whole milk mozzarella.
California tomatoes, vine ripened, very, very important. Put it together with some love and some great flour and fresh dough, and there you have it.
Beautiful. And so you got your son here, Joe, who is, you know, just part of the success here in this company. And, you know, we remember the flagship store there on University, but then it just kept growing and growing. Talk to us about where your locations are these days.
Well, we have...
I'm going to get right next to that mic.
We have the one that I spend most of my time at, which is at Broadway and Houghton. We also have one on 22nd and Cole, and then we have one north in Oro Valley. On Oracle and McGee, and then we have the Speedway one, Speedway and Swan.
So you call Broadway and Houghton kind of home.
Yeah, yeah, at this point in time, I really like it out there, and that's the store I've spent most of my time at.
Now, do you kind of make your rounds because, you know, when Joe's out of the house, you know, you want to make sure that it is as authentic as it can be, and, you know, the Spina, you know, value system is so serious that, you know, you got to keep everybody on in line, right? So
I don't think it's so much about keeping everybody in line. You know, we spend, the people that we work with are people that we like being around.
Beautiful.
So it's more about, you know, making the rounds and visiting people, saying hello, seeing how things are going, letting them know that we're a part of what they're doing. And not only a part of it, we're doing it as well. I think that's important to us.
And it's important to just, you know, keep kicking out a consistent product. Like, you know, for over 30 years, you know, when you go into Mama's, you're going to have that, you've sort of had that expectation, right? As you were talking about, you know, this true, authentic New York experience that no matter which Mama's you go to, you're going to have that same killer pie, experience. And it goes beyond the pizza. So, you know, we should give our hats off to our good friend Frank Santos from Frankie's South Philly Cheesesteaks. He sent Vince over here with some sandwiches. So I took a bite of a hero, took a bite of a cheesesteak, and, you know, I'm always happy. But Heroes is in your name. So your Mama's Famous Pizza and Heroes. Help us understand, again, from an authentic perspective, what is a hero? I mean, is it a sub? Is it a sandwich? Why is it a hero?
Hero is the name that we grew up with. That's a sub. It's a hoagie. It has lots of names, and it seemed very appropriate when we opened up in New York. And when we got in Tucson, everybody seemed to ask us the same question that you just did.
So you got authentic hoagies, you got great pizza. Now, I've lost count how many times I've run into people on the street that say, you want wings? I mean, do you really want wings the way wings were supposed to be? Now, my family's from Western New York, and I grew up on wings. What is it about the Mama's wings, again, that you think are just winning loyalty from generation to generation?
You know, we had a great experience when we first opened up at the university. We had an employee who was from New York, upstate New York, and I forget the name of the town where they started, but what was the name of the town again? Do you remember, Joe? Anyway, it was the original home of the wings, and this guy worked there.
The Anchor Bar in Buffalo. Yeah.
So anyway, he said, you should have wings. I said, what do wings have to do with pizza? So, you know, he encouraged us, and we had a friend that owned a Chinese restaurant at the time in town, and we used to trade him pizza for wings. And that's how it all started. He gave us the recipe from the Anchor Bar, and of course, we made a few little changes or whatever, but it was a great experience. Nowadays, though, you have to be a millionaire to afford to buy wings. I guess supply and demand really changes things.
Now, when you go into Mama's Famous Pizza at any of the locations that Joe talked about, you know, you get your choice. You've got the Sicilian style and you've got the Neapolitan style.
Correct.
Talk to us a little bit about the differences from, you know, a culinary perspective, an architectural perspective. What are you getting from a Sicilian that you're not getting in the Neapolitan and vice versa?
I'll let Joe tell you about
that. Talk about it.
Okay. Well, the Neapolitan, we described as a traditional, like a thin hand-tossed crust. You get a little bit more crunch, and it's not proofed as long. So you get a little bit of that yeasty fermented flavor in it, it's not overdone. The Sicilian's a deep dish. It's like, I always describe it as like a focaccia bread. We put a little more oil in it. We bake it. So you get that crunchy bottom, but you get a real soft middle to it. We put basil in the dough. It's got more of a sweet flavor to it.
Beautiful.
It's fantastic. It takes a lot more work. But
sure.
It's like baking bread.
Make me hungry.
No, no kidding.
Right, me too.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing.
And when people come in, I mean, is that do you see more Neos than Sicilians? Do you see more Sicilians than Neos? Is it just sort of a – depends on what day it is? Or
you know, it's a split. You'll see people that come in have never had the Sicilian before. They try it, and then you'll see them, you know, twice a week, three times a week for the next month, and they'll get the Sicilian every time. Then they'll get a little bored with that, and they'll go right back to the Neapolitan and be doing that three, four times a week. So as long as they're coming three or four times a week, I don't care what they're eating.
We're good. We're good.
Yeah, we love it. So, you know, you were talking about how hungry you were, Vince, and I was making my own observation in that regard. And even Joe says, you know, he owns the place. He gets hungry from time to time.
Absolutely.
And even you still like a good mama's pizza every now.
Absolutely.
Huh? Well, why don't we do some eating? So what did you bring for us to try? I mean, like I said, you got to order like a forklift to get this thing in the door. And we're actually going to try a little bit of this great Iron John's Brewery beer with some of the the goodies that you brought. But Joe, what'd you bring for us to try?
Well, we brought a couple of different pizzas. One is a pizza we do that's something different than a lot of places do. We call it a pizza verde. It's a little bit lighter. It's just our Neapolitan style crust, and we do a nut-free basil pesto that we spread over the top of that. We bake it with some mushrooms and some black olives on it, and then we top it with fresh romaine, like a tomato, like a bruschetta tomato that we make in the store. We call it tomato relish, but it's we put that on there, a little bit of a vinaigrette dressing, and it's just a lighter version of a pizza.
Beautiful.
We don't melt the cheese on there, and not melted cheese has a totally different flavor than melted cheese. And then the other pizza we brought is just a giant family size pizza. We kept it simple. We did a family size cheese pizza. In my opinion, pizza doesn't get better than just a straight cheese pizza. But I'm a little bit of a purist.
Beautiful. Well, I'm going to actually walk around the broadcast booth and take a couple of pictures. But Vince, why don't you introduce what we're going to be eating here?
I believe we have, this is the Verdi, right?
Yeah, yeah. Dig into that. That is good stuff, my man.
Mm.
I think that was a Yoda. That was a Yoda if I ever heard it.
And I think it's going to be really, really good with this, the first Iron John's beer that we tried here.
Help you, I will.
You didn't talk about the beautiful bottle that beer comes in.
That is a nice bottle. Beautiful label. Nice reclosable top.
Yeah.
Okay, so one of the things we love on this show is you know, presentation is as much as of the culinary experience as the taste, as the surrounding and everything. I mean, just the artistic, and I mean this genuinely, fellow foodies, the artistic expression that's coming on this sort of basil pesto pizza is just beautiful. I mean, there's vibrant colors. Whoever thought pizza should be colorful, for crying out loud?
Well, we appreciate
just beautiful.
That. We actually didn't even try on that one. We were like, you know, let's just keep it simple.
Okay, so we got expressive beers, so we got expressive pizza, and I'm going in, and you
just
know,
drop that right there.
I just dropped it. I mean, it's an almost incalculable. Uncountable number of toppings that are on this pizza, and I'm going in.
Crazy.
I've been to a couple of the mama's places last year, and what I like both about it most is that it's a family feel shop. You walk in, and you know it's not a chain. It, even those multiple locations,
20
feels like the family's behind it.
Well, thank you. We work at that. We truly do. And you know, I think that if you really care about what you're doing, and you really care about the people who you're doing it for, everything else takes care of itself.
Yeah.
Beautiful. That is just a gorgeous, and right from the dough, I mean, you can tell, you know, we talked about proofing, we talked about sort of that artistic expression, the dough, my favorite part of the pizza. The first thing I look at a pizza when it's delivered is I look at the dough and I look at it critically. And this is a beautiful pie. And I love the fact that you got, you know, when you go to mama's, you hear the word pie. Not many people do that anymore, but it is. It's a pizza pie. It's just absolutely gorgeous.
Well,
speaking of gorgeous, we should just give our hats off to the lovely Liz Bioka, who's actually here from Mama's Famous Pizza. And here's, you know, she walks in. She, like, manhandled these pies when she walked through the door. We couldn't even get them in the door, for crying out loud.
It was like a forklift or something.
Something tells me Liz has done this once or twice. But anyway, this is a great pizza. So we are going to have a little bit of buy that pizza when we come back from our trivia question. Now, we've got a whole community full of people that want to know what it's going to take to get a Mama's
$50 gift card. And the first person to call in with the right answer to our trivia question is going to be the Spina's guest at Mama's, any location you want. Come on in, get a sense of this whole family style approach to pizza, to heroes, to calzones, to stromboli, to wings. We haven't even talked about the cheesecake, for crying out loud. I mean, this is New York without flying back. Save yourself some dollars and experience New York right here in Tucson. So we're thinking about, okay, you talked about a giant pizza. You know, there's pizzas at this place that are giant. You know, family style pizzas. So our trivia question this week is, we want to know, how big is the biggest pizza at Mama's Famous Pizza in Heroes? How big is the biggest pizza? And I guess that's in measured in inches. Is that fair? Is that
correct?
Okay. How many inches in, what is that, circumference, diameter, whatever? Diameter, I failed every math class I ever took. How big is the Big Mama's Pizza? If you think you know the answer to the question, give us a call right here at 880-5678. 880-KNST for a chance to win a Mama's Pizza gift card. Good luck. We'll be right back.
Do you realize how many fantastic restaurants are in Tucson? He's your cheat sheet. On the Menu with Matt Russell is on KNST.
And welcome back to On the Menu Live. It's Matt Russell broadcasting live, scooting over from a big pizza box. Yeah, this is live radio, folks. You can't make this stuff up anyway. We got a full board of callers that think they know the answer to our trivia question. Again, we are here with the honorable Spina family that helped to redefine New York pizza here in Southern Arizona. And we are having a great time eating and having some great beer from Iron John's Brewing Company. Again, the trivia question of the week is, Mama's makes some big pizzas, fellow foodies. We want to know, how big is the biggest pizza at Mama's? And we're going to go right to live one and see if Bob knows the answer to the question. Hey, Bob, welcome to On the Menu Live.
All right, you bet. Thank you. Okay. Is it like 32 inches size of a manhole cover?
32 inches size of a manhole cover. So did you say 32 inches, Bob?
Yes.
Oh, no. You know what, Bob? That's a big pizza. That is a big pizza. Now, Joe and Joe are kind of looking at each other saying, maybe we should do a 32-inch pizza.
We have.
But anyway, Bob, I'm sorry. That is not the right answer. Anyway, that opens up a line at 880-5678. 880-KNST. We're going to go to line two and say hi to Jan. Hey, Jan, what's the answer to this question? How big is the biggest pizza?
I know it's an extra large. And it's 21 inches.
Okay, extra large, and it's 21 inches, Jan says. Oh, no, 21 inches, Jan.
Come on, Jan.
21 inches. This is pizza, for crying out loud. Anyway, Jan, thanks so much for listening. Okay. You're not correct. Anyway, opens up a line, 880-5678, 880-KNST. How big is the biggest pizza available at Mama's? And we're going to go to line three and say hi to Catherine. Catherine, how are you?
Hi, good. How are you doing?
Great. What's the answer to this question, Catherine?
The answer is 30 inches.
Okay, 30 inches, Catherine says. 30 inches.
We're getting warmer.
She says, we're getting close. We're getting close. But, Catherine, it is not the right answer.
Okay.
Anyway, thanks for listening. That opens up 880-5678, 880-KNST for a chance to win a Mama's gift card. We got another caller that's coming in who thinks they know the answer to the question. Again, how big is the biggest pizza at Mama's? Now, we had a 32-inch guess. That's not correct. We had a 21-inch guess. That's certainly not correct. We had a... What do we have? We had a 30-inch guess.
Yeah.
You know, that's not correct. But we're looking to see if Don knows the answer to the question. Hey, Don.
Hello.
All right. What's the answer? Well, how big is this big pizza at Mama's?
Well, you see, the last guess was the one I was going to make, but I think I'm going to lower it just a little bit and say 28.
28 inches, Don says. 28 inches.
I
okay.
think he deserves some.
Don, you nailed it.
I nailed it?
Yeah, you got it, man. You got it. And let
yes.
me... Well, boy, Don, I'm the... Boy, very
perfect
timing,
this is
obviously
man.
The highlight
perfect
of your day.
Timing, because I was planning on having my entire family out to Mama's Pizza on my 50th birthday on the 5th.
Whoa.
No, well, I mean, awesome. This what a happy great
birthday.
Moment
happy
this
birthday.
Is. Happy birthday, Don. Anyway, yeah. So listen, don't go away because Chris here at the studio is going to get all your information, and we're going to mail that gift card out to you in the mail. And when you get to Mama's, I want you to jump up and down and tell the Spinas that you're the one that won the gift card, and you're going to have a great time, sir.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Don.
28 inches, Joe Spina?
Yes, 28, but I have to qualify that to say that if you carry it out or you get it delivered, we don't have a box that's any bigger than 24.
So when you come into the restaurant, you can get a 28-inch pizza.
Amen.
Absolutely. If you're carrying it out, you know, it's going to fall out of the box and you got to settle.
This
for
is hard 24. Enough to get through the door. We didn't want to make it any harder.
Now, I mean, is it a regular occurrence kicking these 28 inches out of your store every now
oh, yeah,
and then?
Yeah.
People coming
absolutely.
In? Now, how many people like my size? Easy. How many people my size are can comfortably get through a 28-inch pizza?
I have never seen anybody. I've seen a lot of people that think they can. I've seen a couple people make a valiant effort and get about a third of the way through, maybe half, and then just be filled with regret and remorse.
I'm going to give me a new bug.
Well, there's nothing regrettable or remorseful about a pizza at Mama's.
And I have to tell you that when we first came to town, my brother had the idea of the big pizza. Vinny's the creative faction of the family. And he kept making it bigger, bigger, bigger. So when he makes it, we've had as big as a 36-inch pizza.
I can't even get my head around it. I can't even do that.
He ordered special ovens in order to make the door wide enough so we could fit the pizza in the oven. So really, we had to calm him down because that's not practical.
Not practical.
We still wouldn't be in business if we did that.
Anyway, this cheese pizza, I mean, you said, well, we just brought you cheese pizza. You can't just write that up. This is a beautiful pizza. The construction, the dough is absolutely perfect. You know, the proofing, the cheese, it's the right amount of cheese. You have a respect for the legacy of New York that you brought to Tucson. Amen. And this cheese pizza is really all it's all about. So Joe Spina, Liz Bioka, thank you so much for all that you've done in this community, keeping the promise of pizza alive in Southern Arizona the way it should be. Now, before we go, I want you to remind our listeners exactly where your locations are and how they can find Mama's online.
Well, we've got the one on Broadway in Houghton. Out east, we call that the Far East location. Then we have our east side location at 22nd and Kolb. Now, that one's kind of tricky. It's in the back of a Fry's shopping center.
That's my favorite one.
Hidden away in the corner by Palo Verde High School.
Right.
Then we have one on Speedway between Swan and Columbus. It's on the south side of the street in the Midway Business Park. And then we have the one way up on the north side of town on the edge of Oro Valley at Oracle and McGee in the Walmart shopping center.
Man, that's where my nephew Vinny.
And that's where Vinny is.
Nephew Vinny and my brother Vinny.
You gotta go see Vinny. Let me tell you something, Vince. It's impossible to have the Spinas on the radio and not start talking like you from New York. It's impossible. I don't know. That might be disrespectful to you, but it's my show. And I can do whatever the hell I want. Anyway, to the Spinas, I wish you Godspeed. I wish you the best for the next 30 plus years in Tucson. And I want to remind all of our listeners, go see Mama's and experience pizza the way New York says pizza should be. Thank you guys so
much. Thank you, man.
John Atkinson from Iron John's Brewing Company.
Thank you
so much for libating us on this beautiful warm
you're welcome.
Southern Arizona afternoon. And my good friend Vince Mast, you've got some desserts at Roadhouse Cinemas, right?
Yeah, we forgot to talk about Allegro Gelato. Allegro has a location on 5th and Campbell. And so they're going to be providing our gelato at Roadhouse Cinemas.
Beautiful. So, I mean, it keeps getting better and better.
Yeah.
Roadhouse Cinemas opening up very soon. Keep an eye on the website and the Facebook page.
Mid-September.
Absolutely. Really, really good stuff. And Liz Bioka, thank you so much for coming by and bringing just a sense of freshness to the studio. Wherever you go, the world just lights up. I mean, look at her. She's got this beautiful smile. Anyway, if you missed any part of the show whatsoever, the entire show is going to be up on our website, onthemenulive.com, early next week. In the meantime, it's Matt Russell and Vince Mast reminding you, if it's Saturday from 4 to 5, it is On the Menu Live, and repeat after me,
Mama's Pizza.
See you at Mama's. Have a great weekend.